So I don't post a lot on Facebook, but I do look at it. I think it gets dangerous when you post a lot on Facebook. Like many of you, I saw a feature at the end of the year on Facebook that that said, "What, your year in review?" Did anybody see that? Your year in review, and I guess it provided an opportunity for you to post it with a message. It sounded like maybe there was a canned message that said, "I had a great year. Thanks for being a part of it," or you could customize it apparently. But anyway, when I was reading, people's posts about their year, it also made me think about my year last year, and it also made me think about our year coming up. And like you, no matter what kind of year we had in 2014, I think we could all join together and say, we're looking forward to an even better year in 2015, right? Yeah. Some of you said, yeah, definitely. Looking forward to a better year. I think that's a good thing. I had mentioned during the prayer that we have a God of hope. There's a passage of scripture. We'll be looking at it a little bit later, but let me just read it to you before we put it up on the screen later. It's in the book of Ephesians, and Ephesians is a great book to study. In chapter one, Paul has been praying for the Ephesian church, which he dearly loved. He spent more time with them than most churches. And he said, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you." The hope to which he has called you. Hope is a powerful, powerful thing. People that are in depression, you know what depression is? A lack of hope, right? Hope is a powerful thing, and we have a God that is a God of hope. The scripture says, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Well, the truth is, whenever we think about having hope and having a better 2015, a better year coming up, the fact is, to make a year better than it was before, there has to be change. That's just the way it works. If you want a better year, then that means something has to change, right? And a lot of times it's us that have to change. I think that every one of us need to embrace change, positive change, instead of sometimes being so resistant to it, you know. I mean, we're creatures of habit. We understand that probably when it all boils down to it, in some cases, the only human that likes change is a wet diapered baby, right? But because, change sometimes can be difficult, especially if we're in a comfort zone and we don't really want to move. And if your life is going okay, then you get this mindset of, well, what do I need to change? But the fact is God is all about changing us. You see, when we talk about a better year, the way to have a better year is to better line up with God's will for your life. That's the way to have a better year. When we think about change, and we think in our own mind, what change would we consider to be positive in our life? Just think about what change do we want to happen this year? What change do we want to happen? And I want you to think about one more question with me. What change do you think that God wants for you in this upcoming year? What change does God want for you? And when you think about what you would want and then what God may want for you, how do those two things line up? I mean, really, how do you think what you want and what God wants lines up? Because when it does, that's when you're in for good things, right? That's when we know that we can walk in God's will and accomplish what He has called us to. When our desires become His desires for us. When we want what He wants for our lives. It starts, though, with understanding that what God wants for your life is always your best, right? Always your highest, highest, highest good. Whenever we think of God's highest best for our life, I can tell you without a shadow of doubt without any doubt in my mind what God's highest will is for your life. I know that. I stand with full confidence in front of you today telling you that I know what God's highest will for you is. I know it. I know it from the authority of God's word. Do you know what it is? God's highest purpose, his highest will, greatest desire for you is to become like Christ. Highest will. Matter of fact, Romans chapter 8 and verse 29 says, this is what he has called us to become, to be conformed to the likeness of his son, Jesus. That's the big picture. The big picture. You know, the reason that I got so excited when I found this book called Understanding the Big Picture of the Bible, I started leafing through it before I purchased it, and I realized that this, or these three guys, Wayne Grudem, John Collins, and Thomas Schreiner, they've done a masterful job at painting the big picture of the Bible in a way that makes it so, not only compelling, but it brings everything together. And it starts out by painting that big picture, because once you start seeing the big picture of the Bible, then it's easier to see how the individual pieces fit in with that big picture. And it's the same way with our lives. When we start with the big picture of what God's will is for us, that his highest will for us is to become more like Christ, for us to become more like Jesus. When we really grab a hold of that, then everything else can start to, the pieces can start to fit in. The things that maybe didn't make sense in our life before begin to make sense in light of this truth that God's highest purpose for you is to make you more and more like Jesus. This is what God wants, and it's no wonder. It's no wonder. Jesus was the pinnacle, the ultimate of what humans can be, men and women like me and you. Jesus, think about it, was at total peace with God. Jesus was at complete, total peace with God. And we know, I've mentioned this many times before, that it's not because Jesus was God, because he emptied himself of that when he became man, so that he could be like us in every way. So don't ever fall into the trap of saying, even in your mind, or agreeing with somebody that might say, well, that was Jesus. You know, it's okay for him because he was God. The truth is, when you read about what Jesus was like when he walked upon this earth, you're reading about what God's highest will is for a human being. Because Jesus emptied himself of all that was God in order to be able to experience all that was human. And what he accomplished upon this earth, listen, what he accomplished on this earth, he accomplished as a man, but a man that was completely in tune with God, the Father. That's how he did it. So becoming more like Jesus means we become more in tune with the Father. And Jesus really made it possible when he gives us the Holy Spirit. That really is that connector so that we can become like Jesus. We can be in tune with the Father. We can be in total peace with God. And just like Christ, we can begin to manifest in our life the fruit of God's Spirit. Now, when you think about being like Jesus, I want you to think about the fruit of the Spirit like Galatians speaks of, because Jesus was full of the manifestation of the fruit of God's Spirit. Love. Joy. I love this one video of the Gospel of Matthew. It's called the man that portrays Jesus in this particular video is called the Happy Jesus. It's because the man who portrays him in this video of Matthew's gospel is always smiling. I mean, he just exudes joy. It's such a fun gospel video to watch because Jesus just, it just comes out of his very being, the joy of the Lord. And when you read, when you watch that, and then you step back and you say, that's what God wants for me. That's what he wants for us. That's what it means to become more like Jesus, to have the fruit of God's Spirit really come forth in your life. Love, joy, peace. You know, all those wonderful things, those wonderful characteristics. Can you see why God would want us to become like Jesus when he wants our best? That's his highest, ultimate will for you. And it becomes his trump card. Here's what I mean in that. Anybody ever play Pinochle? That's an old card game, isn't it? When I was growing up, my parents used to play Pinochle with some friends. And I learned a little bit of it in college, but I don't think I could remember it now. It's been so long since I've played it. But I do remember this about Pinochle, is that there was one suit that was declared trump, you know? And that one suit, trump, it would trump anything else. Like, even if you had an ace of hearts, but spades was trump, if you had a jack of spades, then it would trump. You know what I mean? Okay, so here's the illustration. The illustration is God has a trump card called becoming, making you more like Jesus. And when God looks at your life, and you know he does, he can see through your life from beginning to end. That's the ability that he has. When God is superintending over your life, he ultimately looks at everything that will happen, and if, listen carefully, if something is going to come down your way that he cannot use to make you more like Jesus, he'll stop it. You believe me? From the authority of God's word, I tell you that this is how God ultimately superintends over your life. That as he looks down the road at stuff that's going to happen in your life, if he cannot use it to make you more like Jesus, he will stop it. However, if he can use whatever is going to happen for the purpose of making you more like Jesus, he allows it to happen. You get it? Even more so, he moves and shifts and begins to work already so that the things that are coming down the pike for you can make you more like Jesus. This is the confidence that we have in God, that no matter what happens in our life, listen, God can use it to make us more like Jesus. And if we're not aware of that, well, then we can just simply go through life unaware that God is working all things together for the good of those who love him, even the things that aren't good. And let's face it, there are some things that are going to happen in 2015 that you're going to say aren't good. Come on, I got to be, you know, human and honest and practical here, right? We live in that kind of world, but be assured of this, that God has already seen it. And if he's going to allow it into your life, it means he can use it to make you more like Jesus. If you step back and you grab a hold of that thought, you can enter into this new year in a different mindset. You really can. The mindset that is not about worry. It's not about fear. It's not about, you know, when will the next shoe drop? you know what I mean. You don't have to have that kind of mindset when you have a relationship with God through Christ. You're with him and he's with you. You can be assured of this, confident that God will work all things together for the good of those who love him. And listen, becoming like Jesus is the good that scripture is referencing. Now, you know, what we will become sometimes is so radically different than what we are, it becomes hard for us to imagine us really being just like Jesus. If you were to, you know, come to this world totally ignorant, for example, of what a caterpillar becomes, right? A caterpillar becomes what? A butterfly. But if you would come to this world and you wouldn't know that, and you would see this creepy, crawly caterpillar going across the room, you know? One of the books we have in our house, we like to read to the kids, The Hungry Caterpillar. You ever hear that book, Hungry Caterpillar? You'd see that caterpillar and you'd say, what are you telling me? That's going to become a butterfly? You got to be crazy. You got to be kidding me. There's no way. It's just not possible. But it is possible. However, that caterpillar has to really undergo a pretty major change, right? God has made it that way. Metamorphosis, it's called, right? Well, the Bible's word for it is transformation. And that's what it says God wants to do in you, transform you into the image of Christ, make you more like Jesus. I like that passage in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 that says, now we are the children of God, but what we will be has not yet been made known. But you know, when you have God's Spirit inside of you, if you start to seek out this, if you start to step back and start with the big picture, God, I know that in this upcoming year, you are going to make me more like Christ, and it's going to be a wonderful thing. It's going to be a wonderful change in my life. I'm going to end up 2015 being more like Jesus, exhibiting more of the fruit of the Spirit, being more at peace with you, having more joy in my life. I know that's your will for me, and all I need to do is line up with that. Lord, if I line up with it, I know when I'm here next year and I'm looking back, I will have had a better year. I will have become more like Jesus, and it will be good, very good. We are predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, Romans tells us. But the truth is, we are under construction, brother. We are. We are all under construction. Now, I got to tell you, we got all excited this Christmas, and rightly so. You know, Alyssa was coming home. You know what that's like. And the boyfriend was coming, you know. And I just had that inkling that he might be coming, like Paul and I were talking beforehand, to, you know, maybe talk to me. So my wife, you know, remember I was telling you that we have the junk room in our house, and so, you know, she had the bright idea of metamorphosizing it. Never wallpaper with your wife before Christmas. It's not a pretty thing. But we got her done. We got her. How do they say that? Get her done. We got her done. Yeah. And I, do you ever start a project like that and everything looks really good and it kind of gives you the motivation to do more? Are you anybody else like that, you know, and you say, oh, yeah, and all of a sudden you get carried away? You like that too? Yeah, I'm like that big time. And so, you know, I even went down into our cellar, our basement. Whoa, where no man has gone before. No, it's, yeah, it's a basement, right? And so I began to, you know, clean and rearrange, and I did what my wife always wanted me to do, but I was never willing to do it. I threw stuff away. You got to, oh, look at this. All the wives are clapping, you know. Yeah, yeah, I'm the one that kind of keeps everything. And you know what? Sometimes it works out pretty good. Like even this Christmas, you know, we were wrapping presents and my wife said the stores ran out of boxes. Guess who had the boxes stored in the basement? Who used to have the boxes stored in the basement. So I got the basement. I even cleaned our man bathroom. Now you guys will appreciate my man bathroom. You know, the guy who built my house before, He must have had, you know, his own kind of man cave downstairs in their bathroom. And so he built a bath, I guess you'd call it a half bath down there, in one of the corners of the bathroom. And the man bath is definitely a man bath. You know, it's where the water line main comes in, and so the meter is there, and the gas meter is there, and, you know, the pipes are exposed, and the floor is concrete, you know, and he got the bright idea of creating a shower stall down there. So he went and got some of those concrete scallops, you know, and he literally cemented scallops into the floor to create the shower stall. It's a man bathroom, believe me, I'm telling you what. And put an old-fashioned sink kind of hooked onto the wall in there, and an old toilet, you know. And anyway, I decided to even clean the man bathroom. And I mean it. Ah, come on, I was being brave, right? And so there I go, and I mean, everything was really getting good. And the toilet started leaking. You know what it's like, right? I mean, you know, it was not pretty. Everything was done, and the toilet started leaking. How come? Why, Lord? You know, come on. It's like the 11th hour, and now my toilet's leaking. You know, I thought, okay, I'm preaching on all things work together for the good, Lord. I have no idea how this is going to work out, but all right, I'm not going to lose it. I'm going to just say, all right, it is what it is. Well, I told Alyssa, and she said, Casey's not going down there. So all my cleaning was really for naught. He never even went down to our basement. But at least I made an effort, right? And the bathroom toilet, well, I actually just shut off the water and cleaned up the mess. You got to do what you got to do, right? And it's like that in our lives. It's when stuff happens. You got a choice. You can lose it, right? Or you can say, God, use it. God, use it. Use it for this high calling that I have to make me more like Christ. You know, people are great at making excuses. Are you? I mean, you have some down pat excuses that, you know, for not changing or not doing something. I mean, we all, I guess, do. When our wives ask us something, you know, I have some down pat excuses, you know, that I've learned. Usually work. Usually, I said. Not always, but usually work. And as I was studying, you know, I remembered the prophet Jeremiah. You know, Jeremiah was a young man when he was called by the Lord to be a prophet. But I tell you, Jeremiah had every excuse under the heavens of why he shouldn't do what God had called him to do. Excuses, you know. So Google is a wonderful thing, you know. You can use it for good anyway, right? And so I'm Googling excuses, and I found the coolest excuse. You know, somebody was telling their pastor why they couldn't come to church. It just was crazy. The excuse was written to the pastor. Pastor, I'm sorry I didn't make it to church. But this morning I was in a hurry, and I was taking my vitamins and my Prozac. I guess that's some kind of, yeah. Happy pill, I don't know. Because what he said was, he said, and by mistake, I took X-lax instead of my vitamins. And he said, so I can't get off the John, but I'm happy about it. All right, so excuses. We all make excuses for, you know, not wanting to change. Jeremiah had every excuse ready for God when he called him to be a prophet. He really did. He didn't realize, maybe what we don't realize sometimes, that when God calls you, he already knows how to equip you and how to position you and how to enable you to do what he calls you to do that perfect will that he has for you. No matter what that is. He tells us, like he told Jeremiah, I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. And that's true for every one of us. Do you know that? For every one of us, that word is true. Even David had wrote that in Psalm 139. You remember? What did David say? Before I was, when I was being knit together in my mother's womb, you knew me, right? Before I was knit together in my mother's womb. What did David say? All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. You really grab a hold of that concept that God already has seen what's coming down the road, what he has for you, what he's going to allow into your life, and what also he wants you to do, to be in that perfect will, to what he has called you to. Listen, calling is not just for pastors. God calls every single person, everyone he has a calling for, which is what? Just another way of saying he has this will for you. He's called you to do these things. That's true for every one of you. And in this next year, as we think about it, as we're going into it, we got to step back again. The big picture, okay, God, you have called me to become like Christ, and you know what else you want me to do as a part of that transformation, as a part of becoming more like you. You already know the things that you have in store for me, the things that you want me to do. And when you say to the Lord, okay, I want to do your will. I want what you want from me. You know, Jeremiah said he wasn't a very good speaker. You know, he didn't think he was going to be a good prophet. Moses shared that same excuse with God, you know. What did God say to both of them? Who do you think made your mouth? Who do you think? If I've called you, don't you think I can equip you? If you'd go back to my hometown. I grew up in a little town called South Fork in Cambria County. If you'd go back to my hometown, let's say I could transport you back there into the 70s. The 70s were an interesting time. And you would have talked to some people in South Fork that knew me. And it's a small town, so most people knew me. And you would say to that person that you encounter, those people that you encounter in my hometown, and you would say, hey, John Bennett is called to be a pastor. You know what those people would have done? Laughed out loud. I mean, they would have laughed. They would have just said, you are out of your mind. You're just completely out of your gourd. There's no way John Bennett is going to be a pastor. That's what they would say. But God knew. Huh? It's the same for you. And I don't care how young or how old you are in this room today, it's the same for you. God still has a calling for you in your life. He really, really does. And you know what else? Those he calls, he equips. In other words, he makes provision. Paul, I didn't get a chance to listen to your message, but I heard it was awesome on provision, right? The truth of the matter is, we have the promise of God's provision for the journey that he calls us to walk on in this next year. Because those he calls, he equips. Provision by the Lord is this. It means that God will provide all of your needs according to the riches of his glory. All of them. All of your needs to do what? His perfect will. All of your needs to do what? To become more like him. God will provide, supply all of your needs according to the riches of Christ's glory. Those he calls, he equips. And those he calls, he anoints, he touches. Anointing, do you know what the word anointing actually means? It means rub into, like that, you know? God, when God calls you, he anoints you for what he has for you. He rubs that anointing into you, that touch of God. And with the touch of God comes then the power of God, not just the provision, but the power of God to accomplish all that he has for you to accomplish. Someone once said that when God calls us, though, to a task, He does not give us a roadmap to follow and then just leave us to our own resources. What he does is he walks with us one day at a time. And that becomes for us the challenge of God's will in our lives. Don't you wish, like me, that God would just simply drop the blueprint down, you know, the whole thing, and say, oh, okay, I see it now. I see what you have for me this year, the next year after that, you know. My whole life, I see it, Lord. All the details, they're blueprinted out for me. Don't you wish? Sometimes I do. And then I start to think, oh, maybe some of those details later on, it probably might not be good for me to see until I'm ready to see them. Do you know what I mean? I'm not yet there. And that's what we mean when we, in Bible study, say that God's will is progressive. His revelation is progressive. In other words, God knows you so well that he knows what to tell you now and what to hold until a little later so that you can see it better, you can understand it better, you can receive it better. You know what I mean? But that creates a big challenge in our life, I got to tell you, because now we got to walk by faith. Not being able to see the whole thing means that you got to trust God. Even when things don't go exactly according to the way you have planned it out in your mind, even when God's starting to say, you know, I need you to change, and that means I'm going to have to get you out of your comfort zone. You're going to have to, you know, start doing things differently. And he starts moving. He starts moving. And you start squirming because it's change and it's not always easy. Becoming like Christ is not going to be having an easy rest of your life. I can guarantee you that. But it is going to mean that it'll be the best rest of your life that could ever possibly be. Honestly. God walks with us, doesn't he? He walks with us. His presence gives us the strength for each new day. Jesus relied upon that when he walked upon the earth. He relied upon that daily presence, that daily strength. And he did what he did because of it. God assured Jeremiah when he called him to be a prophet. He said, they might attack you, but they're not going to overcome you. They're not going to overtake you. You see, when you are in God's will, you don't have to worry and fear. God is with you. One with God is a majority. Trust me. One with God is a majority. But here's the wrap-up. Now, let's see if we can put some practical aspects of how we line up, how we walk, how we know what God's will is, and how we become then more like Christ, specifically. You remember Romans 12. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It talks about how that we are supposed to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Then we'll know what God's will is, it says. Romans 12 and 2. Right? So, your thoughts are the autopilot in your life. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. If you were on a boat or in a plane that had an autopilot, You know what I mean? It's like a very complicated GPS system that you set, and you could actually take your hands off the wheel, whether it be a boat or a plane, and the boat or the plane will navigate according to that GPS. And even if like a storm came, you know, and started pushing you off course, the autopilot would bring you back on course. Now, here's the thing. You got two forces at work in your life. You got your old ways, your old habits, your old thoughts, and that is an autopilot. You know, it's like if you were in the boat, for example, let's go to the boat example. You had it on autopilot. you could take the wheel and start to turn it, you know, but as soon as you would let off the wheel, it would go back to the course set by the autopilot, right? Right? Without God in your life and without the power of God working in your life, your efforts to change are going to be futile, because the autopilot of those old patterns of thoughts, those old habits, are always going to remain there in a way that you can try with your own willpower to turn your boat, to turn your life. You following me? But you'll get tired, and as soon as you get tired and you leave the hands off the wheel, the autopilot's going to bring you back to the same course you were on before. Does that make sense? But you see, here's the other thing. God has a GPS at work. And when you get filled with God's Spirit and you understand that one of the major reasons of having God's Spirit is to have His power at work within you, not just your own, then you realize that God's power is at work to overcome the autopilot of your past life, your old way of thinking, that stinking thinking, right? That gets you in trouble, that you want to change. Then God comes and says, I have called them to be formed like into the likeness of my Son. And so I'm going to create a GPS system for Jason that I know I'm pre-programmed that no matter what goes on in his life, my GPS is always going to steer him on the course that will make him more like Christ. You following me? But here's the thing. Jason has to say, Lord, I have this other force at work within me. It's my old way, it's my old thinking, it's my old habits, and I can't in my own willpower overcome it. I can't change. Not for long. I can make a New Year's resolution, but it'll be just like any other New Year's resolution. You know, it'll blow in, blow up, and blow out, right? That's what happens. And until we say to the Lord, I need your strength in me to start here, and to transform my mind this way. The mind is renewed by actually changing the way you think. You change what your focus is, what your thoughts are. You start thinking God's thoughts. How do you do that? One good way is to pick up that new Bible you got for Christmas. I got a new Bible for Christmas. It has my name on it. And you really just... You really start to try to put this in here, right? Put this in here, and as you do, that's why I picked this class. And I know I'm putting shameless plugs in for this, but I'm so excited about the upcoming Bible study. When you get this, you're getting the truth instead of the lies the devil has been telling you about what you can't do or what you can't overcome or who you were. You know, my friends in Southwark would say, do you know who he was? Do you know who his family was? You know what God would say? I know who he's called to be. Same for you. The same for me. You got to stop listening to that crap, that lie. And you got to start listening to God. He has put his Spirit within you. And you know what he'll tell you? He'll start to speak to you about who you are in Christ. Who you are in Christ. This is what we're going to be talking about, I think, in the next couple of weeks, is who we are, that identity that really allows us to line up with God's view of us. And as we do, we begin to cooperate more with God in the process. Because truthfully, we all are victims of some stinking thinking. All victims of thoughts that are not God's thoughts. We got to put the truth in there, and that will transform us. It'll set us free. It'll begin to change us, because that's God's will. We just cooperate with God when we start saying to Him, Lord, I want to think your thoughts, and I know you've given me the power to do this, to take captive every thought and make it obedient to you. Here's the conclusion. This year, this is how change begins, the kind of positive change that will make you more like Christ and line you up with God's will. You need to realize the power now that lies within you. When a thought comes that you begin to recognize is not God, stop. Call upon the power in Jesus' name to take a hold of that thought and throw it back to where it came from. You know what I mean? Throw it back to the pit of hell where it originated and replace it with the truth. I was reading something about Rick Warren. You know, that he became a very successful pastor, you know, a Saddleback church, thousands and thousands in his church. You know, 2 years after his church began, it was exploding in growth. He had a major bout of depression. His health was not perfect, and he didn't have the energy that he wanted, and he got so down and depressed about it, so depressed. And he said, you know how I overcame? He said, this was a while ago, we could probably do with technology now, but he said, I got these 3x5 index cards. And he said, I would write promises of God about me on those index cards. You know, like I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then he would write on the other side of the index card something specific that he wanted the strength to overcome, like the depression that he was in. And he said, you know, it took about 6 months. And he said, it was so powerful, the transformation that happened in me. And it happened because I started taking captive these thoughts and lining them up with the truth of God's word that he speaks about. This is what we want to do. You know why? Because God has in store for us some really important things in this upcoming year. Some really powerful things in this upcoming year. Some awesomely good things in this upcoming year. Things that he already has seen for us. But one thing that God will not do, he will not take over your will. He will not force you or coerce you. He will encourage you. But what you need to start with is this. Say, God, this year, I want to be more willing than ever before to do your will. I want to be more willing than ever before to line up with your will. Create in me a willing heart. Search me, O God. Create in me a willing heart to become all that you want me to become. Create in me a willingness. Pray that prayer with me as we close. Father God, it's awesome to think that you have seen our life coming up this year. It's awesome for us to know that what you have in store for us is so good. It's incredible, Lord, for us to know that no matter what goes on in our life, you have already superintended it so that if you're going to allow it, it means you can use it to make us more like Christ. It gives us that peace of knowing, Lord, you're with us. And so we say to you today, Lord God, we want that. We want to be willing to do your will. We want to cooperate with you and all that you have for us in this upcoming year. We want you, Lord God, to work in us and work through us. And today, Lord God, we just invite you anew into our lives to do that very thing. Lord, to create in us a willingness and to empower us, Lord, to overcome that autopilot of our own lives, our own past, our own habits, and line up with the GPS that you have created for our life that will lead us into your will and to life to the full. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.